This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Still morning where you are, Nick. Hope you're well.
It is a little bit morning left, Johnny. It's good to be back on the podcast with you.
Yeah, and since we spoke, of course, last night in the early hours of the morning in UK time, we had that response from Israel in this ongoing conflict between Israel and Iran. But very interesting to see how markets have changed over the last, 12 hours or so, because initially I was looking at 3 a.m. UK time. We saw oil, for instance, go up to around about $91 a barrel for Brent, but now it's gone right back to 87. And 87 is the levels we were at the end of March. What is it about what's happened over the last few hours that have calmed markets and seen the oil price fall so much?
Yeah, that's a great question, Johnny. And I'm sure a lot of people woke up today with the same question. They went to bed seeing the oil market, you know, skyrocketing, and then woke up and it was back lower than where it started. Not to mention the same thing happened with the stock market. Stock market dropped, you know, kind of the inverse effect, dropped immediately in reaction to this news, and then has progressively bounced back. That being said, we'll get to stock market in a minute. It's also having a little bit of a troublesome day. Yeah, you're specific to the oil side of things. The oil market jumped up big time off of its usual jump, which is geopolitical escalation or tensions rising, whether it be in the Middle East, Ukraine, et cetera. This, of course, the strikes that occurred late last night, depending on where you were in the world. Anytime you get this sort of news, it does cause an immediate reaction. And these reactions are usually violent because it's not your standard, you know, reported news like we might get from a CPI report. These are usually things that have a lot of question marks and people are scrambling to find out what's happening and how severe this is and whether or not it escalates. So usually you see that fear of the unknown caused these massive, massive moves. I mean, oil was up 4%+, which is a dramatic, dramatic spike. That being said, why the drift back lower? Well, there were also reports that Iran minimized the effects of the Israeli strikes, whether that be a move to diminish how seriously damaged things were or not. Regardless, had they come back with, you know, a swear of vengeance, the market probably would have gone much higher for oil. The stock market would have sold off much lower. So that minimizing effect, regardless of the intentions behind it, have cooled the market a little bit since then. But again, that being said, oil still remains overall, you take a look at it like on a weekly chart, it's still up this year pretty substantially. Yes, it's given back some, as you mentioned, going back to like March numbers. But still, you know, a rising oil price, which has contributed to a lot of what we've talked about on the podcast recently, Johnny, that resurgence in inflation, the problem the Fed has to deal with, as well as other places in the world, that higher for longer story that perhaps is scaring the markets a little bit today.
And of course, global economies are going to be very relieved to see the oil price falling despite that action overnight, because all eyes are on the inflation numbers. We've had UK CPI this week, which wasn't as good as expected. And like the United States, the Bank of England has indicated that it's going to be higher for longer as well. So we're going to talk in a moment about the S&P and how it's reacted. But in terms of interest rates, where are we now?
Yeah, so yields are on the day slightly lower. But of course, when that immediate reaction that we talked about to the strikes last night occurred, there was an immediate rise in the price or value of bonds. Of course, that's indicating yields dropped. Yields dropped pretty quick because, again, it's a bit of a flight to safety going into Treasury bonds. That being said, the effects were not enough to, I guess, sustain. This is generally, in markets, we see this kind of be a recurring pattern. You get geopolitical news, market spikes, and then it spikes back the other way. Same thing with yields. Yields came down pretty heavily on the 10-year and the 20-year, but then have bounced back since that. I think what happens, Johnny, the market freaks out about something, but then it goes back to, well, what's really going to sustain this direction one way or the other? Now, of course, if you had a full-on war breakout that was much higher, then yes, then that would take precedence over everything else. But right now the story has been and continues to be, what's the Fed going to do, and you know, how higher interest rates going to go? Well, again, we see the 10-year is at 4.6. It's creeping higher, does not seem to want to cool off. And as long as that is continuing to rise, it starts to create a little bit of a troublesome story. I know we're about to talk about stocks. So, you know, when we have a rising yields, suddenly, you know, you have geopolitical tension, you have uncertainty in financial markets, earnings or company valuations are high. Some people might be starting to think, and when I say people, I'm talking about funds, you know, pension funds, you know, money managers, individuals.
They're people as well, you know.
Yeah, they're people, you know, sometimes they don't feel like it, but yes, you're right. They are people, and they have this decision to make. Are they going to put money, whether it's their own or their clients, into something that is more risk adverse, like a long dated treasury bond, or are they going to stay and take that risk in stocks? And I think that the risk reward is becoming a little less attractive right now.
I mentioned the S&P. We've seen a 5% pullback for the first time since last year, and that's all because of those rising yields.
Yes, I think that coupled with the unknown of what's happening in the Middle East, you know, I think that by itself, the Middle East, we've seen that go on for the same, you know, during the same period that the stock market's been ripping higher. So obviously that hasn't been the, you know, massive negative catalyst that some might have expected. But the stock market now correcting, as you mentioned, down at the peak to trough, the all-time high around 52.80, down to its recent low printed last night around 6.7%, hit 49.31, let's call it, on the S&P 500. So pretty sizable pullback here so far, pretty impressive and pretty quick. And this is the thing, is the bear case has kind of crept up on us. But I can't help but say that this isn't something that the market already knew about. These rising yields have been a story. They just keep shrugging them off until one day the market wakes up and no longer is shrugging that off. I think the big trigger event, as we usually see, is connected to Jerome Powell. And so Jerome Powell had a bit of a hawkish pivot in his recent Washington, D.C. appearance. With Tiff Macklem, they were discussing monetary policy and the relationship between Canada and the U.S. During that, he took it as his opportunity to essentially sound more hawkish, come across as, you know, interest rates are still, we're happy leaving them there if we continue to have to fight this war with inflation. And so the market really doesn't like that. A lot of the interest rate sensitive areas have really struggled in the last week or two. The Russell, I looked it up earlier, it's trading at the same levels that it was in 2020. So that's a higher risk asset or stock area of the stock market. And you haven't been paid at all for all of this, you know, stock market rally stuff. You haven't actually made any substantial gains if you've been holding during points in 2020 until now. So, you know, quite the volatility spike across the board here in the last few weeks. We could also mention the VIX. The VIX is up to 18.5 at the time of recording this, which is substantially different than what we've had in the last few months. We've been trading down the low teens and you know, 12, 13 range. Suddenly, you have a massive spike in the VIX accompanied this. So it seems like investors are now recalibrating how much risk they want to take. You get the NASDAQ down at the time of recording this by 1% on the day. That is a pretty substantial slide. And we also had, just to throw in something while we're on the topic of stocks, we did have one of the first big names report earnings, which was Netflix. And you can see that stock from peak to trough here now, or peak to this recent drop, 12.8%. So that is meaningful. You got a 12.8% drop on a stock that has been a darling on Wall Street. They came out and they reported decent numbers. In fact, they smashed expectations for subscriber growth, and yet still the market sold it off. So the expectations seem very, very high for growth stocks, especially going into this earnings season. I imagine that as we get closer to that big one, the Nvidia earnings, but next week is huge too. You get so many big name stocks reporting their earnings. That's probably the main story for next week. Just a little teaser. If you're somebody who's watching the indices, if you're watching stocks, stock earnings next week will be really big.
Before we let you go, we talked about Bitcoin earlier this week. and the halving of Bitcoin. It seems to be the buzzword at the moment around cryptocurrency. It's at 64,000 today, Nick, not as low as the 60 it was earlier in the week. What's happening there?
Yeah, so of course there's excitement around this, and I can't claim to be an expert on the technology or all the different variables surrounding Bitcoin, but we've been trading back and forth with Bitcoin. I think I mentioned this in recent podcasts. It's a risk asset. If the stock market continues to struggle, Bitcoin probably will as well. We've seen that recently, though this is an event that a lot of cryptocurrency people are very excited about. We'll see how the market reacts to it. So far, we are holding support around 62 to 60,000. We're in a range. If you have a chart marked up, you've got the 74,000 highs as a resistance point, and the recent lows around 60 to 62,000. We'll have to watch to see. I think really, if you're somebody who's watching cryptocurrency, watch for a break one way or the other. You know, before then, we're just trading back and forth, and this being a risk asset, it is very susceptible to what will happen in the stock market as well.
You mentioned earnings for next week. What else should we highlight?
So next week, there's a couple figures. It's a light week in terms of economic data, but again, those earnings, keep an eye on that for sure. But PMI numbers out of Europe and the UK, as well as the US, we'll get some fresh data there. That's going to be on Monday. And then for the most part for the rest of the week, you've got a light amount of stuff. You've got on Thursday, advanced GDP numbers. That could be market moving. The Bank of Japan has their policy rate, policy statement, and their outlook report on Thursday. That could be potentially interesting if you're someone watching yen currency pairs. The yen also, or the Bank of Japan also has a press conference on Friday. And finally, probably one of the bigger numbers on Friday is going to be the core PCE number, highly anticipated with all this inflation data that we've had recently. The core PCE has a lot of weight sitting on its shoulders. You also have the University of Michigan consumer sentiment following that about an hour and a half later.
Trader Nick in the United States, thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.